Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person and those of you joining us online. You'll notice that my pastoral assistant isn't here today. He's been very sick this week, really high fevers, not being able to keep anything down. And so Brantley, if you're watching, hey buddy, we miss you. Apparently the only thing that would really help him this week was watching our services on the tablet. So there you go. Few announcements this morning. One, the annual report for last year is available. There are copies at this back entrance. If you could take just one per family to help save paper, because these are about 30 pages each, but grab one of these before you go, because next Sunday is our semi-annual congregational meeting where we're going to vote to approve the annual report and vote to approve the use of Odell Black monies to paint the sanctuary. So some of you heard this last Sunday, but hopefully you've seen it in the bulletin and the holly leaf. That's starting on March 6th, the sanctuary will be getting repainted. The ceiling's gonna get repaired and repainted. And we are very, very excited about this. We think the last time it was done was for the 100th anniversary, which would have been about 40-ish years ago. So if this next paint job lasts another 40 years, we are in good shape. We want to reassure you that it really won't be a big change at all. We have found a very similar wall color, and we are getting a taupe color called Sand Dollar to go over everything that is yellow to look good with the stained glass. You'll notice there's some taupe in the upholstery on the pews, and it looks really beautiful with the wood. So that means that for a couple of Sundays, we will be worshiping in the fellowship hall. Also, the first two Wednesdays in Lent, our worship will be in fellowship hall. So all of that, of course, is in the bulletin and the holly leaf, but we are very excited and want you to be aware of that. What else do we have here? Yes, I'm going to take an extra day off this week, Monday and Tuesday. Just getting myself rested up a little bit for Lent, because we're going to hit the ground running. So if you have any pastoral care emergencies, please just reach out to Andy Beck. This Wednesday, we have worship and music committee. We'll be planning our Lenten worship services. Like I said, next Sunday following worship is our semi-annual congregational meeting. So not this week, but next week, Ash Wednesday, Lent starts. So we'll have our Shrove Tuesday pancake supper. And then our Ash Wednesday service will also be in the fellowship hall, because we're inviting you to a couple of work days the first week of March. Tuesday afternoon, the 4th, we're gonna try to get everything out of the sanctuary except the pews. And then March 5th, Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, for anyone who can come and help, we're gonna get all of the pews out of the sanctuary. So anyone that can help, we would certainly appreciate it. We have a couple of things that folks want me to share. Ronnie Seaford died last night. He was a longtime friend of Herbert's, previous owner of On Time Catering. His daughter, Geely, is a really good friend of Lori and Stephanie, and of course, Wesley is Stephanie's boyfriend. So hold the Seaford family in prayer. Also, Libby's sister Judy died this past week, and so we ask that you hold Libby in prayer. She's had a lot of loss recently, losing her brother and sister. So please hold them in prayer, especially next weekend as they travel up to Virginia for the service. I can't think of anything else. I did want to, go ahead, Herbert. Men in Mission tomorrow night at 6:30. And all men are welcome to come, even if you don't come regularly, please come. There is a meal provided. If you feed them, they will come, right? If you. Something just fun to note for today's service, the gathering hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King, is written by St. Francis of Assisi 1,000-ish years ago. The prayer of the day is also written by St. Francis of Assisi. So that's just a fun little connection in the worship service that you may or may not have noticed. all right, how am I going to bless all these without my buddy here to help me hold them? You want to help me, Debbie? Okay. So, of course, we're going to bless a prayer shawl for Wesley Seaford, Geely, Wesley's sister. Nancy is Ronnie's wife. Okay. And then we have some hats. So you'll notice that there are some hats up here. James Palmer has been busy making hats, and he's going to give these away to people who need them. But we're going to bless them today before he does that. We ask that as you, after you come come up for communion or going back to your pews, maybe just lay hands on one or two of them on your way back. And Neil and Terry are going to Florida this week to officially meet Lizzie in person and hold her in their arms. And Marie made this sweet little hat to go with her prayer shawl. So we're going to bless all of these things. Lots of blessings today. God, we thank you for the gift of prayer, that you always hear us when we come to you, and that we can come to you as we are, in our sadness and grief and sorrow, in our joy and celebration. And that's the funny thing about life, is that so often two things can be true at the same time. And so while we give thanks for Lizzie and ask that you would continue to bless her, that she would grow as Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with you and all people, we also lift up those who will receive these hats, who are in need in ways that we cannot even begin to comprehend. We pray that as they place these on their heads to keep themselves warm, that they will feel the warmth of the love that your people have for them. And we ask that you would be with the Seaford family at the loss of Ronnie, that these prayer shawls would be a source of comfort, that you would remind them of your peace, that you are with them every step of this journey, that you truly do walk with us in dark valleys. And so may these prayer shawls receive this blessing, so that as they feel the weight of these upon their laps and their shoulders, that they would feel the weight of our love and care for them here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. please stand as you are able. Oh goodness, I forgot the birthdays and anniversaries. See what happens when he's not here? I'm telling you, he keeps me straight. Okay, birthdays this week, Bonnie Hedrick, who I think I saw. Happy birthday, Bonnie. Tim Everhart, and celebrating their anniversary this week are Chip and Ann Blower. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God whose steadfast love is everlasting. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God with us, we confess that we have turned away those seeking shelter, claiming there is no room when we have plenty. We have made power and wealth our idols, while you show us true glory, a baby in a manger. We have overlooked the shepherds, expecting good news in prettier packaging. Too often we have valued violence instead of your peace. Turn us from our ways to your ways. Grant us the grace to begin again. Free us from all that keeps us bound, and forgive our sin. Through Jesus Christ, who gives himself for us. Amen. Hear the good news and rejoice. You are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. You are forgiven in Christ and freed to respond in joy. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, make us instruments of your peace, that where there is hatred, we may sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. And where there is despair, hope. Grant, O Divine Master, that we may seek to console, to understand, and to love in your name. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Lori. So I wanted to tell you a quote that is by the same man who wrote our gathering hymn and our prayer of the day, St. Francis of Assisi. He said, "Share the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus, at all times. If necessary, use words." So what does he mean, share the gospel at all times if we're not going to use words? And I was thinking, Sawyer, especially you might be able to help us out with Trevor, because Trevor can't really use words yet. He makes a lot of sounds, but he can't really use words. How does Trevor show love without words? Does he smile at you? Does he want to come to you when he sees you? He gets so excited and happy to see you. Does he try to play with you and pull your hair or mess with your glasses? So Trevor has these special ways of showing you that he loves you. How about Bella, your dog? How does Bella show you that she loves you? She wags her tail. That's a good one. Can you think of anything else? Gives you hugs and probably lots of snuggles. Not really. No snuggles. Kate, can you think of a way how we might be able to share Jesus' love without using words? Maybe we can give hugs. Maybe if we see that somebody is hungry, we can help feed them. If we see that someone is hurt, we can try to help them or get them to someone who can help them. Maybe if we see somebody who needs some clothes, we could give them some clothes. Like James is going to give some hats to people if he sees that they need hats because they don't have them. So there are a lot of ways that we can show Jesus' love to people, even without words. And maybe that love is best shared without words, because actions speak a lot louder than words. So we can show Jesus' love by being kind in a lot of ways, and you both have really kind hearts. So I really trust that when you are in a situation, that God will help your heart to know what to do in those situations. But I thought you could help us think about how we might share the good news about Jesus using words only if necessary. So thank you. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Thank you for your love and all the ways you show us. Help us to show others your love, especially with our actions. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up this morning. And I can't remember who has children's church. It's Susan. She always has some fun activities to do.
Let us read together Psalm 37. Read it responsibly. Do not be provoked by evildoers. For they shall soon wither like the grass.
Like the green grass fade away.
Put your trust in the Lord and do good.
Dwell in the land and find safe pasture.
take delight in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. The Lord will make your vindication as clear as the light. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently.
Do not be provoked by the one who prospers, the one who succeeds in evil schemes.
Refrain from anger, leave rage alone.
Do not be provoked, it leads only to evil.
For evildoers shall be cut off. In a little while the wicked shall be no more. But the lowly shall possess the land.
Since we're rereading last week's gospel lesson in addition to this week's gospel lesson, it's a little lengthy, so I invite you to be seated for the reading of the gospel. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They'd come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? even sinners lend to sinners, to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good. And lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Mother and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I think I've mentioned once or twice, or at least I should have, that I like to play board games, card games, trivia games. How about the game of Uno? I would venture to guess that most of you have played it, or at least you know how the game works, right? Well, from the box, Uno is the highly popular card game played by millions around the globe. This game is played by matching and then discarding the cards in one's hand till none are left. That sounds about right. According to the rules, this is the object of the game. The first player to play all of the cards in their hand each round scores points for the cards their opponents are left holding. The first player to score 500 points wins the game. The first person to score 500 points wins the game. All right, so imagine with me that you are sitting around the kitchen table playing a game of Uno with three or four people. It's been a good game. You've had some luck with the cards you've gotten, but you've also played with some good strategy. And at the end of the current hand, you should easily earn enough points to score well over 500 to win the game. Just as you are about to lay down your last card and claim your victory with the most points, someone pipes up and says, wait a minute. Hold on. You're playing by the wrong rules. Actually, the person with the lowest score is the winner. And you might be surprised. You might be shocked, maybe a little in disbelief. Top it all off with a little bit of anger, because you played really good this hand. And you frustratedly exclaim that the person with the highest score is the winner, the better player, because you worked hard for those points. You see your voice and your anger continue to rise. You deserve to win. Those are the rules that you know and the rules that you've always played by. Thank you very much. These new rules are nothing short of ridiculous. And with disdain and resentment in your voice, you say they don't make sense. The loser doesn't become the winner. The person with the lowest score doesn't win. These new rules have turned everything upside down. This isn't how this is supposed to be. This isn't how things are supposed to work. Brothers and sisters, siblings in Christ, that's exactly what Jesus is saying in today's gospel lesson. Jesus turns absolutely everything upside down. He says, "Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." And by the way, none of us in this sanctuary are poor, so none of us receive that blessing. Ouch! "Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Blessed are you who are hungry, for you will be filled. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. And Jesus keeps going on, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, lend nothing, lend expecting nothing in return. Do not judge, forgive, and be merciful as your Father is merciful. Ooh, that's a lot of upside down thinking there, Jesus. Because the problem is that there are a lot of directions out there. And in the Sermon on the Plain, all of those words that we read today, in those verses, Jesus clearly describes what the kingdom of God looks like. And the truth is, it looks night and day different from everything that we know in the world around us. So different, in fact, that it might rub us the wrong way. Maybe even more than that, we might not like it. You see, we much prefer the ways of the world, so we avoid, maybe ignore, maybe even go as far as to resist the ways of the kingdom of God found in the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Plain. And sadly, that's how a lot of Christians choose to live their lives. Because the kingdom of this world seems a little more appealing, does it not? Because blessed are those who are rich in the kingdom of this world. Blessed are those who have power. Blessed are those who look like us and speak the same language as us. Blessed are those who are in the same income bracket that we are in. The kingdom of the world tells us that not only is blessing something that we can achieve, it's something that we deserve. And if we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, then we will earn that blessedness. The kingdom of this world defines blessing by measuring our status, the amount of power we have over others, by measuring our wealth and possessions. And anything different, we find downright offensive. I get it. It's easy to be tempted into this way of thinking, to be thrown off course in following these non-kingdom of God values and working for non-kingdom of God things. We see what other people have, what they wear, what they look like, and we want it. And we let fear and greed and envy and jealousy motivate us. The truth is, we don't want to be merciful like God is merciful. But that's the thing about mercy. When greed and power have become idols, we will find mercy offensive. So I guess a few weeks ago when we read from Luke chapter 4, Jesus at the temple in Nazareth proclaiming, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set those who are oppressed free." I guess Jesus was pretty serious in his mission statement. And he lays it all out. He fleshes it all out in this Sermon on the Plain, both the Beatitudes and the latter portion that we read today. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when I preached that the gospel isn't meant to give us warm fuzzies or pat us on the back, but that instead the good news of Jesus Christ should challenge us, because the gospel shows us the truth of who God is and who God wants us to be and how God wants us to live? Nowhere else did Jesus' words convict us more than in the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Plain. The thing is, they shouldn't catch us off guard, because Jesus didn't create his own mission or ministry on his own or pull it out of thin air. Jesus is God in the flesh, and Jesus is simply fulfilling and continuing the work that God has been doing all along. Over and over and over again in Scripture, we see that God has always loved and cared for the outsiders, those on the margins, the poor and the hungry. There are over 2,000 times in Scripture that God's people are called to care for the poor. 2,000 times. Jesus isn't saying anything new in this Sermon on the Mount or in the Beatitudes. All he's doing is clearly stating what the heart of God looks like and what the kingdom of God looks like. Whew. But to not just hear, but to do the Beatitudes and to live out the Sermon on the Plain is very costly discipleship. Very costly. Jesus doesn't mince words when it comes to following him, what it will look like to be like him and to do like him. It's going to look like deep compassion for everybody, not just those that you want to have compassion for. It's going to look like sacrificial love, like pouring oneself out for others and suffering for others. Again, those others are people that you don't want them to be. Jesus laid down reverse card after reverse card after reverse card. His teaching, his yoke, is the great reversal. The world endorses greed. Jesus throws down a reverse card with generosity. The world endorses violence and harming others. Jesus throws down a reverse card and says peace. And by the way, we're not just called to be peacekeepers, we're called to be peacemakers. That's a very active verb there, be a peacemaker. Jesus throws down the reverse card and says, no, you're to lay your life down for one another. The world endorses power and lording it over others. Jesus throws down a reverse card, humbles himself, empties himself of all power, even to the point of death on a cross. He reverses power and lording it over others with gentleness and with meekness. The truth about the God we follow is that Jesus' life and death and resurrection turned and continues to turn everything upside down. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to join Jesus in that work, to follow Jesus' directions and not the directions of the world. When we pray that God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, we are called to help make that happen. That's part of what we do as Jesus followers. To live out the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Plain is what that looks like. But that means that we're going to have to be like Jesus, and we're going to have to do like Jesus. And that means we're going to have a pocket full of reverse cards, because we're going to be laying one down after the other, after the other, after the other. The call of discipleship, true discipleship, faithful discipleship, is to help Jesus keep turning the world upside down. May we have the courage, the deep courage, to follow Jesus and help live out his great reversal. Amen.
Living in trust and hope, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the Church, the world, and all of creation. Surprising God, you call us to love our enemies and to show kindness in the face of cruelty. Let our actions be a shining witness of your overwhelming grace for all. God of grace, as animals hibernate and fields lay dormant, let them be a reminder that life and faith are not static, but always changing and growing. May we, with all creation, trust that the ending of one thing promises life in a new way. God of grace, we pray for leaders and policymakers who work to reduce violence in our nations, cities, and towns. Give your wisdom and discernment amid heated arguments and differing viewpoints. God of grace, we pray for the victims of abuse and violence. Provide safe shelter and new beginnings to those experiencing domestic violence and dangerous situations. Enfold with love all who seek your healing, care, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Janine, Rosala, Pam, Joe, Carolyn, Anna, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God of grace, empower our faith communities to be signs of your gracious love. Bless the local ministries of parish, nursing, and caregiving, that they will be a voice for those in need in our communities. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for the enduring witness of those who have died before us. May their lives in you provide a witness of your everlasting grace. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We entrust our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promise is revealed among the people. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with one another. Peace be with you, Debbie.
Just to live. God of grace, your love reaches to the heavens and your abundance to the depths of the seas. Bless what we have to your service, our gifts, our abilities, and our hearts. Let us overflow with gratitude and generosity, now and always. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. In the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Amen. Lord, unite us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Come, eat this meal of gladness. Please stand for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together.
Nourishing God,
at this table you have refreshed us with holy gifts of food and drink. Strengthen us for service and send us out to embody your good news of liberation and healing for the sake of the world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Ready. The Spirit of the Triune God bless you with joy, anoint you with compassion, and send you in love. Amen.
As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action
to a needy world. Do you want to help me with the candles?
Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.